Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's the Block Report. I am your host, the Magnificent TDK, aka Tafari XL. And we here on the Block Report, I deliberately took some time. I know you guys may not think this or know this, but I deliberately took some time because I had to take time, not because of the holiday season or anything, but there were certain stories and developments in current events that I wanted to let develop. And sure enough, especially one of them with President Trump threatening not to sign the stimulus bill that was passed that included the $600 stimulus check to every adult in the United States that made less than $75,000, and including children, if you had children or dependents. Now, I reported on that, and last week, and you guys saw that if you listened and tuned in to the episode when we did that one. And I saw that, me knowing Trump, well, I don't know Trump personally, but I know from basically watching him from the last 4 years, plus me knowing, of course, that he's someone that has the type of personality that he has. If you saw how he campaigned when he campaigned to become president, that was a key into learning his personality if you never met the man before. There are certain personality types. And matter of fact, I did a podcast on personality types, and especially personality types, leadership, and cult of personalities, where I did a broad stroke of the subject and topic. I didn't really go in depth and give you this. I don't believe it was in depth, but it might have. Well, what I did is I just gave you from the level of how you could understand it, spot it, and see it, and just the characteristics, because I understand leadership, because I've been around real leadership, and I've been exposed to these kinds of things. So now I could establish and say that, yeah, I've been a leader. I've been a leader myself. I'm a leader of my own self. I remember a young man had once said to me, he was like, well, how do we make this happen? And how do we, I said, well, you lead by example. And of course, that answer was too simple, too easy, and also too hard to take. Because whenever it becomes that you have to take responsibility for your actions, and you have to take responsibility for your wins and your losses, not just your wins, because everybody's willing to accept their wins and take responsibility for their wins. But when it's time to take responsibility for your losses, your L's, and what I'm saying is, it's not really a loss, it's your lessons. It's your lessons learned, meaning that you didn't come out on top. You know, you experienced something where you need to go back to the drawing board. You need to go back and then you need to go to the drawing board and you need to revise. You need to re-energize. You need to retool. The power of re. Okay? So, but anyway, I jumped all the way into it, and I didn't give y'all a chance to do as I normally do when I speak about where you can find the Block Report podcast. Of course, you can contact us on the Block Report podcast at gmail.com, our email, and of course on the Block at the Block Report podcast on Instagram, and also please, as we like to do, we're not begging you. But we'd like for you, if you're enjoying, what we would like for you to do is, if you are tuning in and you are enjoying the program, for you to subscribe. If you find anything in this program, at least any bit worthwhile, we'd hope that you would subscribe. And because we are grown, we are a work in progress. And think of it like this. You get down with the Block Report podcast at this point. You are on with us from the ground floor. So you're like an early investor. So when everyone else jumps on it, you have the claim of saying that you were here from when it was just an inkling. So that's the whole thing. So we hope that you will invest in us by investing your time, by listening to us, and by investing your interest by subscribing to the program and also sharing and spreading the word. That's the investment that we're asking from you guys at this time. Other than that, sit back, relax, and take part in the festivities. Now, there's a lot that's going on. And the reason why I said I sat back and spent a lot of time, I'm waiting because I wanted to see what was going to develop from this Trump thing, because Trump was bluffing the whole time when he said that he would not sign the bill. And I know now me saying so that he was bluffing after he signed it obviously sounds like, well, I'm late to the party. But not really, though, because if you can't see what he's doing, then, you know, you're blind in one eye and can't see out the other. Now, what's going on is that Trump is the type of personality, if you don't understand that, no one, not the Republicans nor the Democrats or any of these personalities in Washington, D.C., like this guy. He never had any favor with any of them. So for him to go out causing confusion and have the Democrats and the Republicans going at each other's throat and seeing which one will go ahead and, you know, as long as he could cause confusion and not allow, because here was the interesting thing. Before Trump had jumped up and said, yes, there should be $2,000 checks to every American, they were talking about that Trump might possibly end up going to jail because there was prosecutions waiting for him to, once he would be relieved of the office of the President of the United States. But now you hear people talking about that, oh, he's possibly setting up a run for his next run for the president, for the office of the president, that he might try to campaign and run again. So what do we really know here, folks? We don't really know anything. There's a whole lot of trickery and games going on. Now, President Trump has recently, within the last week or so, has done a bunch of pardons. He pardoned Michael Flynn, George Papadopoulos, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, a lot of people who helped and told lies for him and offered him information and helped get him to where he was at, plus amongst others. The Democrats, however, are not focused on any of that. Well, at least you don't hear them talking about any of that. But they're trying to get this $2,000 to everybody. Not only that, you don't hear any of them talking about how they're going to fix their cybersecurity infrastructure or get to any of that, considering the recent hack. The SolarWinds hack and all of that type of stuff that's going on. So what I'm saying is, Trump, think of what you will of him, but he has mastered the 24-hour news cycle and just a master of distraction when it comes to the political structure and sphere. And plus, since the rest of them are all engaged in the game, all the other politicians, Republicans and Democrats, are engaged in the game, they don't mind. But at the same time, they don't like him. So just be aware of that fact. There's a lot going on, guys. And,
this is the type of episode where I'll probably break this thing down, because it's going to take some time. This is not one of those kinds of things where there's so much that's going on between Trump, the stimulus bill, the stock market, the hacking, the Nashville bombing. But it's a lot. It's a lot to talk about and break down in one scenario or in one episode of the podcast. So what we have to do here is we have to try to focus and bring you the most current and detailed information that we can, and focus on where we're at. So since I've been talking about Trump, if you go on Donald Trump's Twitter page, you see a guy by the name of, that Donald J. Trump retweeted Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham is a belly, what some people would call a belly crawler, or a belly slider, if you know what that is. And he's also, I don't know if he has two mouths or three mouths. He probably has like one in the back of his neck, and like, he talks out of two in the front of his face or something. Because this guy, you can't trust nothing that comes out of his mouth. This guy has established and shown that he has no integrity about him. But anyway, so he tweeted in regards to, well, let me look. Let me open this up. There was a thread, you know, President Trump was saying whatever he was saying about, okay, so the thread says, well, here we go. All right, so Trump was saying that he wanted to increase the stimulus payments to $2,000 per person and challenge Section 230, big tech liability protection. Now, this was about big tech. All right, big tech liability protection. Okay, now I don't know how many people know what that is about, and or if how many people in America really think that that's really a concern at this time, with all those people that are out of their jobs and businesses being closed down. Lindsey Graham then says in another tweet, both are reasonable demands, and I hope Congress is listening. The biggest winner would be the American people. Now, the thing is, there's other things that are going on out here besides this big tech liability. I think that's as I'm not sure. Let me see. 230. We're gonna look this up. So just so you guys know, this is totally interactive. I don't have everything here sitting here. What was it called? 230 big tech liability so I could get schooled up on some of this stuff, knowledged up on some of this stuff here with you. But I'm going to get to it because I already know what I want to say, but I just want to give you guys I want to make sure I bring everything here on point. The law that the internet faces peril. All right, so considered the single most critical law that enables tech stocks. Okay, I got to open this thing up a bit more. And this is from this. I'm reading this from investors.com. Okay, Investors Business Daily. All right, so the law guards web publishers from liability over third-party content. So this is all basically about them talking about, okay, if somebody posts something, some hate speech or some political talk, that it would provide liability for some of people like Facebook, Instagram, or and the such and the rather. So, okay, well, this is not at all really that important. This is a smoke and mirrors game to be talking about that, to make that even an issue. And that's what I mean. Trump being a master of distraction and the 24-hour news cycle knows how to interject certain kind of things. Now, everything still will work to his favor. He's not just throwing things out there just to throw them out there. But still, none of that has anything to do with the most pressing concerns of the American people at all. So, but the thing is, one of the things that must be a concern to people is when people, or that you should notice whenever you're out there, whenever you're listening to some of these news items and these news articles and the things that they promote and the things that are going out there, think about, well, what is most important to you? I mean, most people are most likely generally selfish, but as soon as it comes to something that they heard on their favorite news channel, oh man, they take up the talking points of people that don't give a damn about them. At least to me, that's my opinion. So now, let me go on to what else we're going to talk about. I'm not really going to go that too deep into it because to me, that's really simple and plain. So let's go into what we want to talk about right here. It's a few things I want to talk about. And as far as speaking about people who will bring up certain things that are not relevant or things that would be detrimental to what's relevant to the community and the group. CNN has an article here where they did an interview with a woman by the name of Anita L.A. Jenkins, who is the CEO of Howard University Hospital. Now, she received the COVID-19 vaccine in Washington, D.C. on December 15th. Now, I watched the interview with Ms. Jenkins earlier in the afternoon here on CNN, and I felt it imperative for me to report on some of the things that she was saying and what she was saying, and to report on this so that we could, because being that she is the CEO of Howard University Hospital, and it would appear that she has some would be in a position of authority to say something. But the thing is, the reason why is because she's as being a CEO of Howard University, and Howard University is an HBCU. And as I've heard, I even heard it today, and I've heard over time, every day, some sort of either financial professional, health professional, talking pundit say that, oh, we got to get black and brown people vaccinated right away for the COVID vaccine, SARS-CoV-2 vaccine thing. So The thing is, why are they so concerned and want to have black people vaccinated so much? So it's a big push. And this is something that I think that we should review. Now, the thing is that the statement has been that because these people of those communities are being disproportionately affected by the virus. Now, the virus is also, there's a new strain. It's out there in the UK. The virus has been other places. And it really hasn't, I don't know where they're getting these numbers from. I don't know where they're getting their statistics from. And remember, the WHO and CDC has had to revise themselves every step of the way since this virus has popped up. So I don't know. Now, but we do have people, and I've read a few articles on people who said, who were professionals or people in the professional community who were of, who claimed to be African American or of African descent, and they were promoting getting the vaccine first and right away because they saw some. And then one of the things what I noticed, they would say two things. They know of someone who passed or someone that was that transitioned due to the virus, and also based on statistics. So my thing is, with statistics, we can go ahead and we can post statistics on something, and anyone can post statistics. Statistics, polls, voter polls are the same as statistics. And voter polls don't always work out the way that the polls say. So my thing is, and I know I'm pushing a line here, but what I'm saying is, I just need more information. What I'm really saying is that I need more proof. But anyway, let me go to the article with Miss Anita Jenkins. When Anita Jenkins sat down to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, she was sending a clear message to her staff. The CEO of Howard University Hospital, a major healthcare provider for the African American community in Washington, D.C., was well aware that her employees and staff had reservations about the vaccine, and that notion frightened her. Now, I just want to stop here real quick and say that this virus has killed less than 1% of the population. 99.9% of the population that encounters this virus survives it. Okay? But she's frightened. I just want to point that out. An internal hospital survey of about 350 employees in early November found that 70% were not willing to take the vaccine or would not take it immediately after it became available. Even her own leadership team was hesitant. "I'll take it if you take it," some members told her. "I said, I will gladly take it first," Jenkins told CNN. Now, I would never, if I was in her leadership team, I'm not telling her, "I'll take it if you take it." I'd be like, "Yo, you take it if you want. I'm not taking it." Here's the thing. First thing first. You see, remember, all right, well, I may get in trouble for saying this, but with multiple companies developing multiple vaccines. There's a thing when you're handling, just like when you're handling DNA samples and certain things like that, it's called chain of custody. Not only that, you don't know who is really handling these things. We don't have any assurances or any of that kind of who's handling it, where, how it's being handled, and what's going on. We're not being fully informed in that way. We're given they're telling us something or whatever the case may be. But we need to have anybody who's handling these vaccines, their name needs to be on a sort of a stamp that they handled it, so that we can know that anybody who handled it and where and when, where it went from the chain of custody, how it went, so we can know how to trace it back and we can deal with it accordingly. Also, how do we know that some of these vaccines might not arrive without and not be a vaccine, but be a placebo? So anyway, there's a lot of things, and everybody's just out here like, you know, why do you think people are not just leery or because they're just that way? It's because there's all kinds of, you know, there are very few answers. This thing is being rushed. This thing happened. There's no other vaccine that has ever been developed in the time frame that this vaccine has been developed, apparently. So, if people are skeptical, I don't find that as a strange thing. Now let's continue. So Jenkins received the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine on December 15th, before cameras to instill confidence in the vaccine among her staff, becoming the latest high-profile healthcare professional to take such a step. Now, I don't know how many of you saw that video. I'm going to pause here. How many of you saw the video of the nurse in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who took the vaccine, said she would take the vaccine, and then later fainted? There are still people reporting or saying that this nurse died after taking the vaccine. I'm not sure. I haven't fully fleshed that story out yet. I'm still working on it. But I think the public might need some sort of reassurance by seeing that nurse, that very same person, show up and say that they've recovered and they are better since the time when they fainted from that vaccine. If you're trying to get people to take that vaccine, as I said, there are many reasons why people are skeptical of this vaccine. But they try to play it in the black community, why black people are skeptical, because of, guess why they're saying black people are skeptical of taking a vaccine? Oh, because black people have been harmed medically and physically by the government of the United States of America. And in one famous case, such the Tuskegee Airmen. So, but that's one of the famous ones. That's the ones that everybody knows about. But there have been many other instances. So whose fault is it that the United States government has a track record that is horrendous, horrific, and terrible when dealing with black people in a medical situation? We already see the track record with their police force when dealing with black people. We're well aware. So who is to blame for that? Now, Let's continue with the article. Alleviating her employees' fears has been a slow process, but Jenkins said she's optimistic. Howard University Hospital received 725 doses of the Pfizer vaccine in its first shipment, with more vaccines expected this week to date. The hospital said more than 350 staffers have received the vaccine out of the nearly 2,300 employees, residents, and contractors who work there. The numbers, while still low, exceeded expectations, Jenkins said. She added that the hospital expects to run out of its initial 725 doses well ahead of schedule. Okay. So Ms. Jenkins is doing her part to help promote the vaccine. For her staff and her leadership there, because she believes that this is, she's telling us that she believes that this is the thing to do. And, hey, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's up to you. What we're going to do here now, we're going to take a small break, and when we return, we will get into the rest of our program tonight, today, and into the rest of the subjects that we have planned to review and get into. So, stay tuned, stay in place. And we'll be right back right away with something to report on the Block Report. All right, we're back. It's the Block Report, and I am your host, the Magnificent TDK, aka Tafari XL. Check this out, guys. So you may have heard that we spoke about earlier how Trump did eventually sign the COVID relief bill, but there are two bills in that bill. There's the funding for the budget for the United States government part of the bill, and then there's the stimulus bill package, and they're attached together, so it's two parts to make it one bill. In the funding part, there's a lot of parts where they're given one of the, as part of one of the complaints that Trump had complained about was the amount of foreign aid that and money that was being given, which was way more than, which was $1.4 trillion. That was the second part of the bill. The first part of the bill that's dealing with the coronavirus aid relief and unemployment relief aid and the stimulus check is $900 billion. And then you have $1.4 trillion that is dealing with other things, which is state, I believe it's state. Well, there may be some state and local aid in there, but I do know that there's a lot of foreign aid, and Trump had complained about that, and he had also vetoed the defense bill, defense spending bill. Now, a lot of people are trying to make hay about Trump vetoing the defense spending bill, but I will say this, the defense spending budget that of the United States is damn near in the double digits times what the rest of the world spends in defense spending. So I'm not going to cry about them spending less on defense spending when for years, decades, it's been in the double digits of what the rest of the world combined spends. Not just one country, but the rest of the world in total combined spends in defense. Also, there's also a a crumbling and terrible VA hospital system that needs some help, and also the veterans themselves need help. So there are other, you know, there are homeless veterans, there are all kinds of things, veterans with health conditions, I mean, where a lot of that money can go to. But let's get into this article here, which is from USA Today, which is not the, I would not say that they're the, let me see if I even have the article. It looks like some of the article, they may have blocked it. The article is short. Well, it's very short. I don't think there's even much of an article here, so I was just going to say that they're not really one of the best papers to go ahead and go off of. I know I do have, oh, that was, okay, all right. So, anyway, let's see what we have here. So I'll take it, I'm going to take it from everybody, all right, okay, everybody's talking about the Section 230. I'm going to take it from a different source here, because there's a lot of people going into the Section 230 thing. I guess that was a big thing. I don't know. Let me see. Trump vetoes defense bill. Let's get into that. And let's see what we got there. Let's read this part. What actually happened is that USA Today did a year of tumult in politics. 2020 creates a big fork in the road. All right, but I'm going to go ahead, before I get into that, I'm going to go into an article here by the Washington Post. If I can, if they don't block me from reading the damn article. My fault. It won't be them. all right, guys. I do apologize, but here we'll go. So let's go with this. This is over here with DefenseNews.com. All right. So House votes to override Trump's veto of defense bill. So this was reported about 1 hour ago. So it's today's recent. Washington, the Democrat-controlled House voted Monday to override President Donald Trump's veto of a defense policy bill. House members voted 322 to 87 to override the veto, well above the two-thirds needed to override. If approved by two-thirds of the Senate, the override would be the first of Trump's presidency. Trump rejected the defense bill last week, saying it failed to limit social media companies he claims were biased against him during his failed re-election campaign. Trump also opposes language that allows for the renaming of military bases that honor Confederate leaders. So, all right, so let's just say this. Essentially, so far, what they're saying is that Trump made it all about himself, which is normal. And he also made it about his base, white supremacist sympathizers, which, by the way, Biden is trying to court them as well. Biden and the Democrats are trying to court them as well. So, let's see here now. Trump's veto of the bill provoked swift condemnation, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calling it an act of staggering recklessness that harms our troops, endangers our security, and undermines the will of the bipartisan Congress. Senator Jim Inhofe, Representative Oklahoma, Chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, called the bill absolutely vital to our national security and our troops, adding, "Our men and women who volunteer to wear the uniform shouldn't be denied what they need ever." Yeah, they definitely shouldn't, nor should their veterans. But what they're really saying, what they don't really tell you, is that that bill, the defense spending bill, what it generally tends to go to is things like paying people like Boeing and other companies for planes and parts and other companies for bombs, and that's charging them $1 million per bomb and all of this type of stuff. So it's not really, I mean, you already have an arsenal that can't be prepared across the world. So what else is this really going for? And as I said, we have homeless people on the street and people with no food for some people, but we have money to build bombs and things like that, or give to some other company to build a bomb. So you got to understand, and I'm not saying, listen, you got to defend, you got to pay for your defense and defend yourself against possible threats. But here goes the thing, all that spending on defense, and then they recently had that SolarWinds hack. So what was that spending doing? I'm just saying, let's think about that right there. Let's throw that in there. And I haven't even reported on that yet. We haven't really gotten into that. And it's a few things. Like I said, it's been so much. Just like the Nashville bombing recently and such. It's been so much that's going on. And we have to get to the nitty-gritty of a lot of it. And that's why I will be on here on the Block Report reporting a lot more, because that's what we do. So here we are now. In his veto message, Trump also said the bill restricts his ability to conduct foreign policy, particularly my efforts to bring our troops home. Trump was referring to provisions in the bill that impose conditions on his plan to withdraw thousands of troops from Afghanistan and Germany. The measures required the Pentagon to submit reports certifying that the proposed withdrawals would not jeopardize U.S. national security. Both the House and Senate passed the measure by margins large enough to override a presidential veto. Trump has vetoed 8 other bills, but those were all sustained because supporters did not gain the 2/3 vote needed in each chamber for the bills to become law without Trump's signature. Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed, the top Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee, said Trump's declaration that China gained from the defense bill was false. He also noted the shifting explanations Trump had given for the veto. Anyway, we all know Trump will go ahead and say whatever to make his side of the argument seem more valid than anywhere else. This is all a debate, but of course, when it comes to defense and national security, everybody will get a bit sketchy, and they're not going to really let it go. Anyway, guys, look. We're going to end this episode of the Block Report podcast, and we're going to pick it up again on another day with more news, current events, and topics. Remember, you can contact us through the Block Report podcast at gmail.com or Instagram at the Block Report podcast. And on Twitter at TafariXL. So you can find the Block Report podcast on your favorite streaming websites, Spotify, Apple, and your favorite streaming websites. You can contact us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com, on Instagram at theblockreportpodcast, and you can contact me on Twitter at TafariXL. So, this is the end of our broadcast and program tonight, today, this afternoon, this morning, wherever you are in the world. And we do appreciate you being here, tuning in with us. And until the next time, be safe, be well, and we'll be reporting to you straight from the block. Peace.